Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And on the line with us, we have the famous Wes Bryan from IT Bro TV. Good morning, Wes.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing, Eric? Dennis.
Hey, Wes.
We're doing good. Are you getting ready for the hurricane down there?
Oh, yeah, actually, I'm getting ready. I'm in the oldest city here in the United States. I'm in the beautiful, sunny St. Augustine this morning.
Wow, very nice.
Yes.
Well, we're all rooting for you guys down there.
Yeah.
But you're here for something more serious, Geek Talk.
Yeah. What's that?
You're here for Geek Talk. What's more serious
Absolutely.
Than Geek Talk?
Absolutely. You better believe it. It's definitely something I live for. Love it.
You wanted to talk, because we never really got to it last time you were on, Wi-Fi, wide area, wireless access for businesses these days is becoming more and more a thing. And you wanted to talk a little bit about that, from my recollection. So where'd you want to start, Wes?
You know, just some basic stuff. You know, I kind of forget sometimes when you study stuff for the long time, you know, you learn the geek jargon and you realize that not many people speak like that unless they've been studying it as well. So,
yep. Yeah,
I just like to take a little bit of time that we have this morning and just talk about wireless wide area network implementations. And, they're just more and more prevalent in the industry. And they have a lot of benefits, certainly, you know, just like anything in networking. They have some drawbacks. But, you know, some of the things I'd just like to talk about that maybe a lot of your listening areas probably heard of, right? We've heard of all these different generations with a G attached to the end, right? Maybe 1G, 2G, 3G, all the way up to what we have, 5G.
Mm-hmm.
And those terms might not be something that somebody's not really familiar with. So I just kind of like to talk a little bit about that and some of the options that are out there.
Yeah.
Kind of go from there. One of the best things, you know, with wireless wide area WWANs, if you will, is flexible deployments, right? That's, you know, anytime we use some kind of unbounded transmission media, right, essentially irradiated energy going through the air, right, we do get things like flexible deployments. And you guys, I'm sure with the support that you have to give to businesses, probably have seen this too, you know, fairly flexible deployments, right?
Yep.
Versus the wired connections, right? You're talking about maybe a few hours versus days or weeks when it comes to connecting into a wired network, right? A lot of hardware that you got to implement and stuff. And,
right.
A little bit easier, right? Which makes us, we have the ability to do rapid deployment. You know, these solutions, we can deploy them fairly easy. And when it comes to things like security, they're a little bit better on security than your traditional wireless local area networks, just based on how they identify the devices on the networks and subscribers, you know, which is a little bit different depending on what option you're talking about. I'm sure some of your listeners / viewers are probably aware of that SIM chip, right? It's just a fancy term for, hey, we're storing user information and account information on this little chip.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that's bundled down into the chip. And, you know, it's a combination of a couple of things, just identifying the device, identifying the subscriber account, And if you don't have those and they're not valid and they keep databases, of this, then you're not going to get on the network. So inherently, they're a little bit more secure.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we see 10 immutable laws of security. If I have your device, it's not secure anymore. So, you know, that is one of the disadvantages, you know, because anytime you have a little device like that, whether it's a cellular hotspot, you know, base station, it definitely people can get greedy fingers and walk away with it.
Right.
But that's other benefits, right? You think of global coverage, depending on, you know, what provider you go with. Those are some of the things that I think really are beneficial when it comes to the wireless wide area network.
And the bandwidth too, right, Wes? I mean, now 5G is finally offering up bandwidths that are really something that people can use. They're getting rid of those limitations. They're getting rid of throttling. So whereas 3G and 4G, you were, you know, the moment you get on there, the meter was just flying. It was expensive. And then once you used up the data, you got throttled and you were slow again. So 5G gives you that bandwidth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you mentioned another thing, you know, anytime we talk about shared bandwidth, and I'm sure you all are well aware, it doesn't matter if it's wired or wireless, anytime you're sharing, you know, when people start taking too much of their piece of the pie, well, somebody else is going to suffer, you know, I mean, that's just part of a shared bandwidth connection, you know, and you mentioned in terms like 5G, right? So, you know, going back, if you look at going all the way back to like 2G technologies, that was something developed in Europe. And I think it was first deployed out in Finland. It's something called, maybe you've heard of GSM. And I mean your viewers, I know you all have heard of this, right? It's
a
big fancy term for global system for mobile communications, right? And again, the jargon aside, what that means is that was one of the first technologies that was under what we call 2G today, right? It's retrofitted, the retro naming conventions, right? It's overseen by a consortium called 3GPP, the third generation project partnership, and they're the ones that oversee the standards. Well, later on, these GSM networks were upgraded, and we got into what was known as the 3G.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just acronyms, alphabet soup, right? It's called UMTS. And again, just think of it as the next generation, the third generation, bringing more bandwidth, right, higher speeds, being able to do things like not just voice. We're doing data now. And then we get into other technologies that have been around, too. So we talk about, you know, another widely supported one. I think upwards of 22 countries support it, and that's the CDMA networks. You know, those would come along as well and didn't require things like your SIM cards. If you've heard of things like LTE, right? We've probably seen that market. That was actually the fourth generation technology. That's the 4G, you know, when we say 4G. So, yeah, they... you know, as fast as it was, it's not fast enough for us today. So when we move into 5G, it's kind of interesting because it's not any one specific technology. Like the base standard speeds have to be at least at 4G speeds. I mean, it's bar minimum. That's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see that it's going to support a lot of bandwidth, right? You could potentially see here within the next few years 10 gigabit speeds. And that to me, that's mind-boggling.
That's awesome. I've never heard the 10 gig come out there.
I hadn't known that either.
Half a gig I was happy about, but 10G, that's serious.
And really what 5G does, Eric and Dennis, it's interesting because, you know, if we're looking at some of these earlier just alphabet soup that we just talked about, you know, they were specific technologies. 5G is actually kind of a divergence from the initial standards that were set, for instance, by the European Telecommunications Industry Standard. Again, another big, long name that's there. Like, we have American National Standards Institute here.
Mm-hmm.
They have their, ETSI, I think is what it is, not related to the website. But and they've kind of diverged from any one specific technology. It's going to be a group of technologies, and it's going to be interesting to see how it, how it evolves. Because if you think about it, we've got Cisco was predicting almost 5 years ago that by the end of 2025, we would have 50 billion IoT devices connected to TCP/IP networks worldwide. We've got to move that information somehow. And a lot of times, and I'm sure you guys have probably talked over the year, these big, you know, industrial control systems and stuff like that, you know, they're doing remote telemetry and stuff. So they need to send that information wirelessly, you know, and one of the ways that we can do that, and we can start to support that kind of a communication and that just such a large prevalence of the data communications that we're going to have, 5G is definitely going to be something to keep your eye on.
Especially for self-driving, we were kind of, you know, Tesla's getting sued for their autopilot not working fully automated. And I can just see when the cars all have a 5G location sensor in there, where they can just sense each other. I mean, it'll just, you're a token on the network. Everything's separated and spaced and taking care of everything. You don't even need cameras to do self-driving. The network will see where you are. It'll report right in. You're in the lane. No more pileups on the highway in the fog, right? Because the cars will see each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually in Gainesville last week. I mean, I live in Gaines, but I was down by the university, and I seen my first fully autonomous public transportation vehicle this weekend. And I mean, fully autonomous. There was nobody in it. And it was slowing down to pedestrians. It was slowing down to people that were riding bikes literally right next to it.
Wow.
When it made a turn, I was really impressed by the fact that there was this bicyclist that was kind of just behind it. And when it went to make a right turn, it actually sensed that bicyclist. And before it turned, it slowed down and stopped and let the bicyclist go by and then actually made the right turn. That was scary and impressive.
Yeah. Do you know what company that was?
No, I don't know. I didn't actually pay attention. It's probably just part of it because there was initiative here in Gainesville. I'm not in Gainesville, but in Gainesville.
Yeah.
For the public transportation networks to deploy a handful of these autonomous vehicles. There's a lot of things that are happening in Gainesville and around UF, like a big AI initiative and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, they were definitely pushing an initiative for autonomous transportation vehicles. And apparently last week I seen my first one.
Yikes, it's coming.
That's very cool.
Scary. Are you sure there wasn't somebody just hanging underneath there, just holding the wheel? And
I tell you guys, I looked for the wizard, but I did not see him.
All right, it's coming. I know we're all looking forward to it as long as it's going to work and not run over. Like you see those commercials of the guy against Tesla where they put the little dummy in front of the car and Tesla runs over it every time. Maybe this technology is working out pretty well.
We'll see. I'm still a little bit leery. I work with somebody and their sister or husband works for Tesla, works for SpaceX.
Yeah.
And they're talking about some of the just impressive stuff. Like it used to be you'd have to have at least a finger on the wheel so it would sense your presence.
Right.
And next generations that are coming out, you don't even have to do that. You really don't even have to be attentive to the driving, which I don't know that I'm there yet. I'll probably be the old person going, I don't want to change from a rotary phone. What's this push button?
Right, right. Well, I like the day where you can send your car out to pick up the pizza yourself rather than having an Uber do it, right? Just send the car, hey, Tesla, go pick up my pizza. Right? Wouldn't that be cool?
We predicted it back in the 80s, right? If you were a child of the 80s and loved watching Knight Rider, it should be a new thing to you.
Correct. Yes, Knight Rider. Yeah. The David Hasselhoff days. So, Wes, we do appreciate you joining us. We do have to. Last half hour, I missed a break, so Karen was making me pay for it. So we got to break a little early here. But we do appreciate you joining us as always on the program.
Anytime you want to have me on, we'll try to make some sense of the alphabet soup. So. People that live in the real world can understand it.
That's the key here. IT Pro TV, Wes Bryan is an edutainer for them. If you want to get trained up and join the geek, we need more geeks. You want to learn a little about this stuff, go to computertalkwithtab.com. There's a link out there. You can save 30%, and you have a guy like Wes. He explains it clearly and understandably. They're really great folks over there at IT Pro TV, and we need more geeks. Let's get trained up and check them out. Thanks, Wes.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
We're going to sip out for a quick break. We'll be right back. And we are back. Always good to check in with Wes over there at IT Pro TV, but we're back to help you guys out. And let's get right to your calls. Walter in West Hartford's been on the line there for us. What's going on, Walter?
Hey, how you doing? I talked to you guys last week.
Oh, great.
And we were talking about getting a Windows laptop for general computing, and if you wanted to do online banking, you should get a Chromebook.
A second device. A Chromebook is an option.
If you got an Apple laptop, is that more secure? And so all you would need is the Apple?
That's a very good question.
Apple guys are like, yeah.
And tell them,
Walter.
It has a complicated answer.
I'll let Dennis answer it because he's an Apple user.
I own a Mac.
Yeah.
Go slow and use smart.
I'll be very clear and very slow. Number one, no computer operating system, no computer is inherently more or less secure than any other. Okay, just if you're talking about the nature of the operating system, all computers, all operating systems have vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. They all do universally. You can't get a computer that doesn't have them, okay? The difference between Apple and Microsoft Windows is that Windows has a much bigger segment of the market, so that criminals are more interested and more likely to go after Windows computers. So there are more viruses and different kinds of malware that affect Windows than there are that affect Apple computers. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're any better off with an Apple, okay? It just means that you get a little bit of a buffer based on the fact that you're using a minority market device. Okay?
Okay.
That's the best that I can say about it. So effectively, are you a little more secure? Yes. But it doesn't have anything to do with the Apple products being inherently more secure or less secure than Windows. Okay?
Oh, okay, so you're still saying you've got an Apple computer and you would use a Chromebook.
Another device.
Another device.
It doesn't have to be a Chromebook. We just suggested that.
It can even be a tablet.
Yeah.
It could be a tablet?
Yeah. Anything that'll run the applications you want to run, and you only use that device for those applications. That's really the key here. We don't want you to do email on it, because email is how the bad guys get into your system, right?
Mm-hmm. So I could get, if I had a Windows laptop,
mm-hmm.
could I use an Apple tablet for my banking?
An iPad? Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, as long as the tools you're using are available.
Right. As long as the Safari on the iPad will open up the bank's website.
Right.
Most of them will, so it should be all right.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it would be a big issue.
Okay, but then I thought that the Chromebook had little sandboxes or something where... isolated you?
No, we're not. There's no isolation. It's you're isolating yourself by only using it as the tool.
You're talking about the sandboxing of apps.
Yeah.
There is some sandboxing that goes on with any of the tablet operating systems too.
So Walter, do you want to hold on, or you're all set?
Sure.
All right, he's going to hold on. We're going to take a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. We're here till 11 o'clock. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric. And Dennis, I didn't hit the button. Go again.
And I'm Dennis.
There he is. Always works when you hit the button. And we're here till 11 o'clock. And then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And we were talking with Walter and he's still trying to figure out how many computers he needs to get things done. You there, Walter?
Yeah. So we're talking about if you got a laptop, you could use an iPad for banking.
You could?
Yeah.
Now, what's the minimum specs you would want on the iPad?
I don't think there would be a minimum. Anything that's a new model, you should want. I wouldn't like buy a three-year-old refurbished one because I don't know how secure it's going to be and how many more years of updating you're going to get on it. But as long as you buy anything that's current, I think it'll work fine.
They've got a $300 iPad.
There could be one out there.
I don't know if iPads are that cheap. They might be, for all I know. Remember, as long as it's a recent model.
Okay, so but if you bought a recent model, if you bought a new iPad, how long would it be good for?
Oh, I would think probably 5 years, give or take.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're going to stop updating. They say, hey, we're no longer going to update it, and they make it obsolete.
Yeah, but they're going to support it for at least 5 years. Yeah. I would think it probably even more. It's the question of how well it will live as a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Tablets get mucked with sometimes, you know.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome, Walter. Good luck, sir.
Good luck.
Take care, guys.
Yep, you too. So, yeah, multiple systems, you know, it's something Clark Howard always talked about. We've talked about it a lot, too. Is what Walter was getting at last week is he's going to buy a new computer, and then we suggested if he's going to do banking and anything else, you want to use a separate machine for that. That doesn't include, you're not going to use that separate machine for browsing or email or fun. It's just for the one aspect of financial work because you can be a little more safe that way is what our contention is. So feel free to get online, 860-522-9842, four lines open for you guys. Now, I have to do that correction. Remember I talked about Coinbase? They're the ones that always say they're not going bankrupt?
Right.
And I confused them with Celsius. So Celsius filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in July. And so it is halting withdrawals due to a liquidity crisis.
Liquidity
of fake money. Yeah. It blamed that on extreme market conditions, otherwise known as people realizing it's fake money. The lender owes 500,000 creditors, they say. I call them ding-dongs. Nearly $5 billion actual dollars.
Oh, what?
Yeah, they owe $5 billion. So even if they were able to sell all of the stuff that runs that company, they're still going to end up with a $1.2 billion hole. So in a leaked audio recording of an internal Celsius meeting that even the person in the meeting said, are we crazy? Basically, it indicates that they're considering an alternative method to repay customers. They're going to wrap the Bitcoin, Ether, and USDC it owes customers into a token, an IOU token, that their chief technology officer, Nuke Goldteen, explains represents
Nuke?
The rate. Nuke, yeah. I didn't want to go there. His mother didn't love him. Represents the ratio between how much we really owe and how much we really have, which you technically, buddy, have nothing. It's fake money. So then they can go ahead and redeem their wrapped IOU tokens sometime in the future when, of course, they have negative value.
Right.
So they're going to say, this is the idea. We're going to sell you something that has a negative value. We're bankrupt, by the way. And you're going to be just along with the 500,000 fools that have lost $5 billion, you're going to be helping us to bail those fools out with your real money when you buy this. you can't make it up. I mean, it's so amazing. And again, you're hearing. Who did I just see recently? I want to say it was Jamie Dimon talking about crypto being a Ponzi scheme.
Oh yeah, it was Jamie Dimon. Yeah,
guys, come on, man. What do you really? It is a Ponzi. It's fake money. You can call it whatever you want. You can give it a value of whatever you want. The concept of blockchain, fine, that has some value. I'm not going to argue that. But these tokens have no intrinsic value. They're not backed by anything. It's purely whatever they want to make it. And now these guys literally are going to sell you IOU bankruptcy crypto coins. If that's not jumping the shark enough for you with crypto, if that doesn't give you, and if there's crypto guys out there saying, oh, well, come on, Eric, come on. You know, that's just those guys. You're watching Bitcoin? That's the mother of all coins, right? That's where it's all started. Somebody has most of those guys in a wallet somewhere that nobody knows where it is. That doesn't sound fishy to you?
Oh.
That doesn't sound fishy to you, huh?
Not at all.
No fishiness there.
Nope.
Some guy, Akiyoshi Toki Shimashiwada, whoever his name is, has like 80% of all the crypto, Bitcoin crypto in his wallet or her wallet, wherever it is. And that's not fishy to you. That's okay. The moment that wallet is opened, guess what your Bitcoin is going to be worth? Because now it's everywhere. It'll be everywhere, right? The guy's going to cash in real dollars. Who's going to really pay him for that when he opens that wallet? Or finds the wallet. What is it? Some sort of like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory golden ticket kind of stuff you're talking about? I mean, this is crazy. So we'll put the link up here. If you guys are interested in investing, quote unquote, into crypto IRUs for a bankrupt company, they want you. And it's just, to me, it's just shocking that folks would call themselves investors in this stuff. So invest in blockchain, fine. I have no problem with that. As we wait for your calls, 860-522-9842. Did you have any other comment you want to make about that?
Well, I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
In a way, it doesn't surprise me.
No, I know.
Because, I mean, they obviously have no shame to begin with.
No, they just.
I mean, they're selling the emperor's new clothes as it is in the first place.
Right.
And then they went bankrupt selling the emperor's new clothes.
Right.
So. I mean,
now they're going to sell the laundry. I don't know what they're going to sell now. That's crazy.
I don't know.
And they think people are going to buy it. I mean, I just want, okay. Here you go. So what else you got there, Dennis? Anything you want to bring up as you wait for calls?
Well, we've got another data breach.
Of course.
This one happened with American Airlines. And they revealed the breach 2 months after they discovered it.
2 months, huh?
2 whole months.
All right. What's the window? Did they break any laws there?
I am not sure. Let's see here. They.
Knowing the people who wrote the laws, they, probably not.
Here's the key part.
Yeah.
It all started with a phishing campaign.
Yep.
How many times do we have to talk about this?
Right.
Don't click stuff in your emails.
Exactly.
And then. Well, I don't know if they breached any regulatory guidelines, but
on the reporting.
I mean, they're just sitting on this news for 2 months.
So, how many folks' information got scraped? Did they tell you?
Let's see. It's sending some of its customers.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that the story doesn't even have a number. Yeah, it doesn't have a number.
So the data's too new to even know.
Yeah, they may not even know the extent of it.
Right.
And that's part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got a breach,
right.
you gotta start talking about it right away.
Right.
Because talking about it is how you try to contain it.
Well, even Uber with their breach, they're saying, oh, no important data was compromised. Really? You know that. The guy was connected to your systems and your primary systems and your primary.
For how many months?
Yeah. And you, oh, nothing was compromised. Really? Okay. We'll believe you. So we'll put a link up there to that story as far as American Airlines. 860-522-9842. Carolyn is taking calls, but you're not coming on being ready yet. Joanne's coming on board here. So I'm wondering if we wait for Joanne. I think we'll do that. See what she's got cooking out there in wherever land she is. She's in Windsor Locks. Let's go, Carolyn. Put her up. We'll see what she's got cooking. She's still typing it in.
Wow.
All right, here we go. Here it comes. Come on. There she is. All right. Hey, Joanne, what's happening?
Is reset password the same as change password?
Yes.
Okay.
Who's asking you to do that?
Yeah, that's what? The real question.
Is somebody asking you to do that or something you want to do?
It's something I want to do.
Okay, that's good.
So I want to change my password. mm-hmm. and it won't let me do it.
All right. What are you changing the password on?
My computer.
Ask a silly question, Dennis.
Are you changing a password for like a bank account or
no.
your Gmail? It's just for the computer itself to log in.
Right.
Okay. What is it telling you when it doesn't allow you to change your password?
It says to get an external connection, drive.
That is a password recovery drive, which you might want to set up, but that isn't the process of just changing your password.
Right, but that's what I get all the time. It doesn't. There's nothing that says lets me change my password.
All right, what I'd like you to do, assuming the computer's up and running and you got Windows there, okay?
Yes.
Hit Control-Alt-Delete. And then you should have a change password option on the menu that comes up.
Did that come up, Joanne?
I'm here. Nothing happened with Control-Alt-Delete.
It doesn't do anything when you hit Control-Alt-Delete?
No.
That is not good.
It's not normal. What's on your screen right now, Joanne?
Password.
Windows 10, Windows 8? What are you running for Windows?
It's either 10 or 11.
Okay. It's just saying the word password?
Yep.
Is that because you use the password of password?
No. It wants me to type in my password.
Do you know your password?
I do.
Go ahead, put it in.
There she goes. That's quite a long password there.
Yes, I do.
Good. Good. Are you changing it because you got somebody in the house there that you don't trust?
Yes. My dog.
Your dog? What? Your dog? That's a pretty smart dog. All right, so you typed in your password. Wait, you're still typing it in?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. Now you're pulling my leg.
Okay, I typed it in.
All right.
All right, and then what happened after that?
Did it hit enter?
No, should I?
You gotta do something.
I think you're going to have to.
Yeah.
It, what happens underneath it says reset password.
After you hit enter, it says that?
Before I hit enter.
Where the heck is she?
I don't even know what it is that you're looking at.
You know what we're going to do, Joanne? We're running out of time. We're going to put you on hold, and Dennis is going to take you in the actual booth, Carolyn's space, and try to answer this question for you, Joanne, okay?
Okay.
Because we're not sure what you're doing. Although your password sounds very long and complicated. So hang on one sec here. We're going to put her on hold and try to fix what she's doing over there. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Wes Bryan from IT Pro TV for joining us from St. Augustine, Florida, getting ready for the hurricane. But he was there for us, and IT Pro TV can help you become a geek. So check us out over at computertalkwithtab.com. There's a link there for you. I want to thank Carolyn for producing, Mike G for posting everything.
And we want you to become geeks too.
See you guys next Saturday.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.